Amen. I'm going to open with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your care for us. Thank you, Father, that you chose to look upon the state of man and love us, to redeem us, to give us all that you have, Father. Thank you for this time we have to be together, that we can cherish it, that we can bring glory to you, Father. Thank you for this time as we go to your word, for helping us to be humble to you, to allow you to lead us in the ways that we need to be led, to continue to grow up into Christ. Thank you, Father, for having equipped us to be able to know you, to understand your word, to be able to go to you. And I just thank you for what a wonderful time we're going to have together this weekend, and for help us to stand in amazement of what you're working in feeble people like us, God, and to just rejoice in all that you've done. We praise you and thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We're actually here again. Hannah told me there were a few that had tears in your eyes coming into registration. It's funny, we've come here many of us have come to this camp for close to 20 years for different events, and it was weird not to come for a couple years here. So we've worked with the same woman the whole time we've come, and she just moved into a new job. And I was like, what? Danita from Akita's not here anymore? It's funny that she rhymed. But anyway, you can take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 103. You know, this weekend, you see what our theme is, prevailing in the wilderness. Obviously, we're not the children of Israel, and we're not in the wilderness that the Old Testament talked about. But I'll tell you what, this world we live in is a wilderness, isn't it? It's not exactly, it has its pitfalls as well as like the wilderness did. It has an enemy that's at work against the children of God as well. And we're going to be looking at specific examples for the most part of certain people, certain situations in a relatively small portion of the Old Testament, and to see what we can glean from how they stood, and at times not so much how they stood, but to see what we can learn from to help us stand in our day and time. God's the same God. How he wants to work and care for his people is the same. He hasn't changed. He's with us. I mean, if anything, we're better equipped to stand in the wilderness, but I get caught up in stuff sometimes too, and I know you do too. So, you know, really, as you go into the weekend, expect God to show you what you need to stand, and collectively we'll stand and go back to Columbus or where you're from, being better equipped, strengthened as a church, strengthened as an individual and as a body, to where we can bring more glory to our God. In Psalm 103, in verse 1, we read, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The main point I want to look at with you, kind of overall the whole weekend to me, is this key factor that God wants his people to remember him and to not forget him. And in the Old Testament, you see time and time again, when they remembered and trusted in this living God, wow, what he did for them, what he was able to provide for them, how he could care for them. And when they forgot and didn't trust him and didn't look to him, they were defeated time and time again. The same is true for us today. I guess the difference is we have an ultimate victory that we can't mess up. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, please. In verse 1, we're going to read. You know, I was thinking back to when God first made man and he equipped him with spirits so he could know him, so there could be a sweet fellowship together. And then when man lost that, he was really lost. And until God chose to, a couple weeks ago, Hannah taught on Moses and how God was working with Moses and teaching his people who he was and how he could work. They didn't really know this God. And as he continued to do that, He wanted them to remember that. You know, he wanted them to forget, not forget all his benefits, to remember who he was and how good he was. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Trust in the Lord when you think about it. No, God is really after more than just an occasional thought. It's not like casually remember him, you know, like you remember to, I don't know, tie your shoe, brush your teeth. No, he's after our hearts. He wants more than just a casual thought now and then towards him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, in the Old Testament, God did so many things to help his people remember him. You look at, he entrusted his word to Israel. He gave them the law. And I know a lot of people think that's just a bunch of rules, but there were specific things that they were to do that would direct their life, their heart towards him. He wanted them to acknowledge and remember him because he's on an ego trip. No, because he wanted to care for them. He wanted to bless them. And if they didn't look to him, his hands were tied. If they didn't trust him, if they forgot about him and tried to figure things out, I've done that. It doesn't work very well. I really cannot figure things out for my own self as good as God. I might pray and tell him what I'd like him to do. But, you know, he's pretty good at figuring out what I need more than me, I think. Let's let him be God. But he did so many things. We're not going to go into all of that, obviously. But if just stop and think about what you know. Sacrifices. That's because he's a real bloodthirsty God. No, they point to something else. And they also directed them to him. Remember, you need me. You need me. You can't do it without me. When he fed them manna from heaven, Hannah covered that in her teaching. It was to teach them. You can't do this on your own. Man can't live by bread alone. He needs me. He needs me to provide for him. And I'm faithful to provide day after day after day after day. You know, he provided manna. Dew gave him food. I mean, it's just, you know, he didn't just provide. He showed them, hey, I'm this kind of God. I can do this. I'm a great God. He established the Sabbath day. And some people can, that's just another religious thing where they couldn't do anything. They just had to sit around all day and they couldn't work. They couldn't do what they wanted to do. They had to, no, he did it. It was a Sabbath unto him. Stop after 6 days of working and doing what you want. Stop. Don't do what you want. Remember me. Think about me. They would sing songs of praise to remember this God. Stop for one day and remember me. One day a week, a whole day, a whole period of time, they were supposed to remember God. Why? Because he, like I said, he's an ego trip. No, he wanted his people to remember him. There are just so many things he did for them. You know, how did he lead them? With a pillar of fire, a cloud, day after day showing them things. I'm real. I'm powerful. Here's the way you need to go. Okay. And I'm the one leading you, by the way. I'm the one leading. No, don't go there. Follow that cloud. Follow that fire, you know. And on and on. There's so many things that he did because he didn't want them to forget him. He wanted them to remember him, that he was the one who would care for them and provide for them. Yet they still forgot him. Turn to Deuteronomy, please, chapter 6. We'll look at a few of the things he did to teach them about who he was and how he wanted to help them remember him. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, that you might stand in awe of him, that you might reverence him. That's why he gave them that, okay? To keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. He wanted them to remember him, so it would be well with them, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Kind of covers the whole time, doesn't it? It was supposed to be something they did and thought about and remembered God. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which you didn't fill, and wells which you didn't dig, you know, vineyards and olive trees which you didn't plant. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, he warns them, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. He says, you know, when you get all the stuff that I promised for you and you're, you know, you're just taken care of so well, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Similar, but there's a little more detail in it. He says, all the commandments in verse 1, which I command thee this day, shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which you didn't know what it was. Neither did your fathers know. What is this? That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment wax not old upon me. I want to go buy clothes from that store. 40 years their clothes didn't wear out. I mean, Tom had a shirt that he used to wear when he was in high school. I threw it away, don't tell him, but okay. It was wearing out. It was not something he should wear anymore. Okay. Their raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. How many of you have ever had a foot swell in the past 40 years? Ever gone on an airplane for a long period of time? They were walking everywhere, and their feet didn't swell, and their clothes didn't wear out. Verse 5, thou shalt consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee, Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. He was leading them in a good way, to a good place, because he's a good God. You know, when his people chose to acknowledge and follow him, they were so blessed. You know, sometimes we can forget God and forget to do his word, and we're not so blessed. We don't have to, though. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where, it doesn't say chocolate, though. Okay. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statute which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hath built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied. He's blessing them abundantly, and he says, but when that happens, then thine heart be lifted up and thou don't forget me, because otherwise then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, it's so amazing. They went from working horribly as slaves in Egypt every day, and he brings them into this land flowing with milk and honey. He promises and gives them so much. And by the way, you have to take a day off to remember me after working as slaves for so long, and you have to take a day to think about me and remember what I've done for you. What a good God. And he knows, man, we need that help sometimes. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do good at the latter end? And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. He says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Don't do that, but do this. Remember me. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Because he's a mean God. No, because the only way they were going to be blessed if they followed his lead and followed his direction. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Over and over again, they are told to remember, and don't forget when you get there and you're fed and you have everything that you need. Don't forget me, the one that gave it to you. Remember and think about what I did for you. Don't forget, you know. How do they do? Sometimes they did do well. Sometimes not so much. We're not going to read all of Psalm 78. You can read it sometime, though. This is later where it's thinking back, and he's going, you know, I did this and I did this. I fed you angel food. And you forgot. You know, I gave you this and this and this and this, and I did this and I parted the Red Sea, and I did this and I did this, I did this. And you forgot. And you forgot. It goes on and on, talking about what he did. I don't want to read the whole thing. It's very long, but it's got so many things that he did. He tells them once again to teach their children. I'm going to just skim over it a little bit, what I want to read. But after doing all this thing down in verse 22 of 78, it says, they didn't do so well because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. He delivered them from bondage, and they forgot about it, thought they were okay. And because they didn't choose to believe him, they didn't do so well. Even though he'd commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna from heaven, he'd given them angels' food, gave them meat, he did all this stuff. They were eaten, filled, and then they forgot him again. So they didn't do particularly well, and yet it says that God still had compassion on his people, and when they turned to him over and over again, every time they turned back to him, he took care of them. You know, there's records in the Old Testament where they consulted God, and they did things, and they went into battle, and they won because they did what God told them to. And then they got arrogant and figured, we're so mighty, we're going to just go to fight the next thing without consulting God. And you know what happened when they didn't go with God? They didn't do so well. And God, like the manna, day after day, you need me, you need me, you need me. And yet they'd still forget, you know. But his heart is, please remember me. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm giving you signs. I'm giving you things so you'll remember me, so you can be blessed in this land. And down in go to verse 38 of Psalm 78. It says, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. See, that's why God wanted them to remember, so his hands wouldn't be tied from caring for them and loving them and providing for them. If they simply would remember him and not forget him, he was able to do so much for them. We'll just go to the end of the chapter. In verse 72, it says, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Our God is so much wiser than us. Turn to Psalm 32. He knows how to lead his people. He knows how to lead and instruct his children today. Psalm 32. In verse 7 it says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. This is the God that loves you and loves me and wants to care for us. He says, be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. We have his word. We have some understanding. He says, don't be like them, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. God's not going to put a bit and bridle in your mouth. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. And he says, remember me. I'm the one who can help you. I'm the one who can provide for you. I want to be that for you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. I need that. How about you? Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Jeremiah 10:23, you can turn to it if you want, but you don't have to. It says, O Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We were made to be people that look to God. We weren't supposed to be the ones that were to figure out our lives, to figure out everything we do. I know we have brains and we can figure out, you know, how to make oatmeal in the morning. I'm not saying that. But as far as where our lives are to go and what's the best decision and how do we live for him, he's the one that wants to help and direct us. He loves us. It's not supposed to be you figuring it all out. You know, I was reading this week about compasses, of all things, but Hannah and I got talking about terms, and anyway, compasses work because the center of the earth has a magnetic field, and that little metal thing on the compass points to magnetic north. It's not actually true north. I learned lots of things reading about compasses because of what's at the center of the earth. It works, and it can direct you. It can help you. God wants to be the center of our life. He wants to be the governing, ruling thing in our heart so that we're always going in the right direction. He wants to direct our every steps. But in order for him to be able to do that, we have his spirit now. And I'm sorry, we don't need to have manna from heaven. I can speak in tongues. That spirit will incline me towards things of God. But I have to choose to want that. I have to choose to remember what he says in his word and allow myself to be led, to be taught, to be instructed. He wants to do that for us. He wants to be the compass of your life. But that has to be part of what's in your heart, you know. You need that magnetic field of God in your heart, whatever you want to draw the analogy, you know. Tom and I were talking about it, because we got talking about magnets. I don't know why. But you know, compasses can get off course, and then they have to be realigned. And we do, too. We can get off course. We have to realign. Okay, here's my word. We will do that. You know, God will do that. His Spirit will do that. You know, a compass is a tool for finding direction. We've got much better than a compass. We have God, and we have His Word, and we have His Spirit. God wants us to remember Him. Like I said, not casually. He wants to be the very center of our soul. That means that in life, when I choose to do that, other things don't take the precedence in my life, in my schedule, in my time, and in my heart. I arrange my life in light of that. I think about my life is supposed to revolve around this God, around what He's done for me in Christ, and let alone us in the New Testament, where it says Christ is our life, He is our all. Well, I know spiritually that's true, but in practice, sometimes my life has been far from that. It takes redirecting, realigning, so to speak, to our souls, to God, to keeping Him first in our life, to remembering Him, to remembering His ways, to not forget how good He is. I mean, the children of Israel forgot that He parted the Red Sea and delivered them from bondage. What about you? You were dead in trespasses and sin. He did more than part the Red Sea from you. He raised you from the dead and seated you at His own right hand with Christ. Let's remember that in our days, you know? We have a lot to remember too, don't we? And when we do, our lives bear great fruit, you know? We're to be rooted and grounded in Him. Not in our own stuff, but in Him. That's keeping God first in our life and remembering what He's called us to. Let's close by going back to those few verses we opened with in Psalm 103, verse 1. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Do you get that picture? It's not like, praise God. No, it's, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. In order for that to happen, there's got to be something going on in the soul of that man. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. In Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of what? My heart, my heart. It's not just a cursory glance at the Bible. It's taking the time to put that word and those truths into our soul so that we can bless Him with our whole soul, that we can remember this God who is so wonderful with our whole heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I want to do that. How about you? And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'm really excited this weekend to see how God teaches us how to do this better, because I want to do it better. You know, He's such a good, good God, and He deserves our very, very life, our all. Let's help each other do that this weekend. Learn to give our all to Him in our hearts from the very depth. That might mean getting rid of some stuff in your life. I mean, things that hinder you. And that's where, you know, the time in our fellowships, like I said, is a time to really care for one another and help each other if nothing else, just in prayer for one another. Because we all have things in our life that stop us from doing what we really want to do, living the way we really want to live, you know. Let's together bless the Lord with all that's within us and remember and serve this loving God that loves us so much, okay? We don't need to do a song. So...